Just for the information of everyone in the gallery, just to explain what I just said, we have two members here who are involved with the council committee, and so they are required due to potential conflicts of interest to actually leave the meeting. But in order to do that, we have to invite them in so that they're able to stay, otherwise they could be absent, which is not the case. So I hope that rather convoluted answer actually just explained if I think they're coming from. Right, thank you. So everyone is here now, so we'll commence our meeting here at 7:10. And I'll just make our opening statement again for our meeting, as we did for the workshop. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount and Kaurna people. They are the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders, past, present and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. Now, item three on our agenda, we do have some apologies and leave of absence. We have an apology from Councillor Park in this evening. We have a leave of absence from Councillor Grant that was previously approved, but we have no absences. Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you. With who? So, you're correct. I think I'll just have a quorum. One, two, three. So we have anyone who's been on the council again? Do we know if Councillor Gill Tom is not online? Okay. So I'll just put that down a bit down. That'll give me five. That will leave me seven. That's just give me three. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so we will have a quorum when our other declaration of interest is made. So I'll go to item four on our agenda. So we're looking for a declaration of conflicts of interest by members of the council. So I'll ask for those who wish to make a declaration. Thank you. I've got Councillor Lee Mudge and then Councillor Nathan Daniel. Councillor Mudge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would like to declare a conflict of interest on the motion without notice as the subject of this meeting because I am the council's representative on the council assessment panel, which will be the relevant authority to determine this particular item. It's a general conflict of interest because of my being bound by the code of conduct of the CAP, which says that I haven't been discussed any matter that might come before the council or the panel. So because of that conflict of interest, I will release it.
Thank you, Councillor Mark. Councillor
Daniel. Thank you, Mayor. I also have a general conflict of interest, similar to Councillor Mudge, except I'm the deputy member of the council assessment panel. And if I was to participate and consider this item, I'll be breaching the code of conduct for the chat, so I'll include leaving the chamber. I think that's a good
item. All right, thank you. So we can now, and both of those Roberts before. Just like 7.1 just in a minute. Okay, so we've gone to item 5 on the agenda. These are opening remarks on myself. I just want to say, first of all, welcome actually to everyone in the gallery tonight. We actually do always enjoy it when people do come and make representation because it does help us understand the feelings of our community. So, welcome and thank you for being part of it. And on a technicality, what we have at 7.1, just reminding everyone, it's actually a motion without notice, not a motion on notice, but I have I have accepted it as a motion without notice. Item 6 on our agenda, we now go into a public forum. Now, for those of you in the gallery, what this means is that we have 10 minutes that we dedicate to the public so that you may speak to us. And that's 10 minutes amongst all of you. So the idea is that if more than one of you wishes to speak, always make sure that you're not really repeating what the first person said, because otherwise you're kind of wasting your time. So I'll ask you, so anyone who would like to speak in the public forum, would you put up your names, and just so that we may, I'll put two hands up. So sir, if I could get your name, And another one, thank you, sir.
Michael French.
I beg your pardon?
Michael French.
Okay, so we have Michael French is our third time. Sir, is that?
Philip Ryan.
Philip, I didn't hear the surname.
Ryan.
Thank you. You got that?
Yeah.
And our third gentleman, please?
Jonathan Ashby.
Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan Ashby is our third one. All right, thank you. And the fourth one, sir?
Thomas Brett.
Sorry, I said that again.
Tom Brett. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so, sir, would you like to come forward first?
Thank you. I start by declaring an input conflict that I owned the Rangers Early Learning Centre for the last 16 years. The Rangers Early Learning Centre here in Stirling for the last 16 years. In all that time, I've been expecting more competition to arrive in the area and understand it arriving, and that's what this is dealt with. I was particularly interested in what was being said before I came in late. I don't know the lady's name who was talking about the planning criteria. I'm very aware of the criteria saying this is complementary to the zone, and I think that's a critical word that I'm not sure is said well enough nationwide on early learning centres. Because based on what I heard there, essentially, if you took this down the pathway, you could have every block on that street fitting all that criteria, so therefore you say they're fine. But it's complementary, and the key thing around complementary development in this area, and we see it in the news all the time about lack of childcare across the country and childcare deserts where there isn't care available. That is not the case in Stirling. In Stirling and in everywhere across the country, as a survey in Financial Review in August said, 50% of the childcare centres across of their survey group were capping their enrolments because of staff shortages in the industry. Rangers has been doing that in Stirling, so if you've got families saying we need spaces, that is being driven by that, not necessarily an absence on spaces. It seems to me that governments nationwide need to be focusing their developers on actually putting their centres where they're needed, where the houses are growing. Where's the centre in Woodside being proposed by the developers? Timely on the way here, as usual, I got a message from the developers saying, here's another three or four centres if you're interested in them. They've got planning approval, sign up for them. Back when we started 16 years ago, the rental prices were about $30,000 a year, 5 plus 5 years. They're now 10 plus 10 plus 10. For a centre of this size, they'll be renting it at $400,000 a year. There's a developer's game where they are putting them as many as they can where the market already is satisfied. And I would be suggesting councils need to push perhaps that motion back to the state government to be asking, where does the council actually need it where it's developing its population? And also consider what is actually restricting the capacities for the population where the centres already are. We just had a centre approved for planning last year in Johnson Street here, which at the time I represented the council. Yes, we could probably do with another centre in Stirling. That was really the wrong location I represented, and I still believe that was the case. But now we have this one, and we can have plenty more getting proposed and getting ticked off based on the criteria of it's just, if it's this and it's this, it's allowed in the zone because it's complementary. Well, if there's 50 of them, that's not complementary. If we've quadrupled our capacity, it's not complementary, because what they do is cannibalise the industry. We're already short staff. This new centre would require all of our staff to service it, and we're short staff. So instead of building capacity, we've created capacity that only if the staff are there. But as I said at the beginning, the capacity is not needed here in the Stirling area. It's needed out Manway, out Barker Way. It's needed out in Woodside, where the housing developments are happening. So I think if we actually got the data on the numbers of children in need in this area, we would see if that was the case. I've got plenty more to say, but I'm conscious of time, so I'll...
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Rick. We've got 2 minutes gone, so that would be Mr. Bernie Cavalli. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. My name is Phil Rain, I'm a town planner, and I've been engaged by a group of women concerned with this proposal and will be making a detailed representation in relation to development considered by the panel, which of course is the appropriate decision making body. I guess your role this evening is separate of that, as Victoria has explained. You have an opportunity to make or a sufficient representation in relation to this development application with your inherent interest in the area. I'd suggest that the assessment of the proposal is slightly more nuanced than it was put to you previously. Yes, a childcare centre is identified more specifically within the zone as being an appropriate use. But I don't believe that gives carte blanche to this development. I suggest that it is slightly more nuanced than that, and regard it to given the scale and intensity of it, or therefore the impact arriving. And I say that with reference to a number of provisions, which will be my special reforms at the time. But not least of it being performance outcome 1.2, which I noted wasn't on the screen previously. The meaning of a community facility specifically excludes childcare centre. That's contained within the code more specifically. So by implication or extension, if it's not a community facility, yes, it's a community facility, but not a community facility, and the meaning of such provided by the code is, as the previous speaker has said, unashamedly a commercial activity. Therefore, I say that performance outcome 1.2 has done some work to do, and more particularly, commercial activities to improve community access to services are of a scale and type to maintain residential amenity. And then from there on, I guess the provisions that relate to non-residential development complement residential character and amenities are applicable. And yes, it's to improve access, arguably. Improving access alone is not the test that I see. Fundamentally, this is a residential zone if we go back to the desired outcome, which sits above all of these provisions, it seeks to provide limited good services and facilities that enhance rather than compromise rural residential amenity. And I think if you have regard to locality, its characteristics, what is proposed is quite a lot to that character, both in terms of its form, its scale, its extent over the site, large car parking area in the front of the property, its site coverage. Maybe not its building height, but its building mass, it dominates the local heritage place quite significantly to its front, notwithstanding the heritage report that has been provided, which I suggest hasn't dealt with that issue adequately. I believe there's also a number of vulnerabilities in the proposal with respect to the acoustic assessment. Yes, the grant is given to the EPA noise policy, but it's again a slightly more nuanced consideration with respect to nuisance that will be considered. Yes, it might satisfy the objective criteria, but that doesn't mean one cause nuisance on an ongoing basis. You have to remember this is a daily activity from 6:30 a.m. in the morning to 6:30 p.m. in the evening. 118 students, or children, at least 21, if not more, staff, and the traffic associated with it. Again, the traffic, I say, has been unstated, and the difficulties associated with movements in and out of the site, I don't believe has been adequately addressed. I guess the other consideration for council as owner of the land, of the road asset, that's your asset that you're responsible for, it's care and maintenance, and dare I say safety. But together also with stormwater management, I don't believe what's being presented is viable in the circumstance. Water being discharged not to a pipe in the road, but to the water table in a location which is already vulnerable and has experienced flooding, the culvert that runs across the road, the easement through there. So I believe those items more particularly need to be peer reviewed by your experts. Give you confidence that the technical submissions that have been put to you are valid. And then I guess there was the only other thing is that I suggest.
Hold on, just a moment. Your colleagues are saying they're happy for you to carry on.
I'd like Bill to continue.
Sure, thank you.
The only other point is that it gets back to this. The scale and intensity, I believe what the code is saying is yes, the childcare centres can be and are appropriate, but I suggest only at a particular scale and size. More home-based care, smaller facilities that provide greater opportunity for landscaping on the site, that are less intensive, give rise to less off-site impact. Think about a daily scenario of 118 parents or carers, or up to, maybe there's doubling up in some cars, in and out in the morning and the evening on a very awkward road. There's site distance issues in terms of the pedestrian movement on that footpath. It's a pathway that's used by students making their way to the still in primary school. Kids riding down on bikes. It's a recipe for disaster. And I guess if there is to be a childcare centre on this land, it should be on the appropriate size. This is plainly too big for the commercial activity. It's certainly not a community-based organisation. It's clearly a for-profit operation, and I believe it's seeking to develop the land beyond its capacity and as a consequence, going to have negative impacts on the character and immunity of locality.
All right, thank you so much. Let me just ask, gentlemen, we've still got a couple of minutes. Did you have any more, Mr. Brumley, that you wanted to put to?
Look, I think I've set it up and
we'll do it one at a time, please. Would you, gentlemen, like to speak? I mean, or has Mr. Brumley said what you wanted to say?
Time left to speak.
Yes.
I don't have a lot. Thank you for everyone for taking time to listen to us here tonight. I'm representing our local community as a member within
the zone.
Thank you. We are really concerned about the development for a number of reasons. A lot of what has been touched on by Phil, but the traffic issue, the safety, children to and from school issue, the land use and the scale within the fabric of what the Hills community is at odds for me and with a lot of other people I've been in discussions with. And I hope that due consideration is given to all of these areas, and that we appreciate the representation from the council will be heard in this matter. Representations that are coming forward will be looked at carefully and given due consideration. We just want a fair hearing and a fair understanding of what is being presented. Thank you.
Right, thank you. And I would say that is the job of the CAT to do that. And based on the representations that people like yourself give to them. So I'll just ask Mr. Press, did you wish to speak still?
No, thank you. I think there's something
else. All right. If you would, we've got 1 minute left. If you want to take up that 1 minute. And
thank you. I just did want to add one point regarding traffic, and this is something I can inform on, particularly given our experience. Back in 2008, quite a lot of our customers were coming from Mount Barker and Nanway and everything else. And over time, as those places have developed and they've got more centres, a lot less of that customers happen. What we're going to see through this, whereas I'm saying there's no great need in the Stirling and local areas where these places aren't being developed further out in the Woodside and so forth, we're going to become a stop off. The traffic issue is going to be the entrance to Stirling, where people are coming off the freeway and going back on. And that roundabout struggles at peak times at the moment. And I would suggest if you're going to approve such development, you need to put it with conditions around they need to be funding the change to the entrance to Stirling that solves that traffic issue that will arise.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having the picture comment. Now, the council, would you like any extra time to ask questions? If you do, I'll ask people in the meeting, or are you all okay? Right, I'm not getting this sense that we need any more questions. So thank you so much for your presentation. And I would just encourage you, of course, to put your representations in to the the cat as you've been notified. Sorry, so thank you for that. So we'll now then go on to the business of the meeting. Of course, you're absolutely welcome to stand as you for that. I've been of great interest to you. And this is now a motion without notice. And this is obviously about the proposed development of the charter of 10 Mona Road in Stirling. So this motion was come from Councillor Chita. So Councillor Chita, would you like to introduce your motion for the chamber?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to acknowledge a couple of things as we go on. It's the last minute, and it's not this. It has truly been a thing, and I do thank the administration for piecing it together quickly, as well as the elected members for the special meeting to our workshop. This came to light from a variety of residents and business owners sharing some concerns about the capacity to make their submissions on this application. And it wasn't a decision made lightly to go down this route. The reason for it was, I guess, information gathering is a really important part. And then from the workshop, we managed to get together very quickly tonight. But also the advice from the administration around this potential.
Can I just ask Peter to confirm what you're actually moving, just for the record?
For sure.
And then you can carry on explaining why you're moving.
Is it as printed?
All right. So now you can carry on. It was just we need.
Yeah, for sure. And so I guess I took the time to have a look at the application itself and spent a lot of time with it. And I want to make very clear that there's no concern or distrust for the capability of our CAP to address the concerns listed in this motion. They were the particular pieces that stood out to me as not a professional in this space, but as an elected member who was hearing from residents and businesses around us and concerns. Through the sort of information we've received through the workshop and as we've heard from our public forum, the thing that kept resonating to me was not about land use. I think there is a conversation that could be had down the track around a code amendment. That's what we're here to decide tonight. But the scale of this development and the engineering and design, I guess, is probably the key point in question. The reason for looking for a submission from the council is that I think we have an opportunity to start looking at some of that before we go and have an opportunity to make a representation. The closed date coming up on Friday makes it very difficult for us to have enough time to look at this at length and understand a little bit more. And I have taken from the workshop tonight a lot of information around the code and some of the nuances around that development. So I do want to make clear that this motion was, I think, valuable in understanding what we've heard tonight from the legal team at council, as well as hearing from our members of the public. I do understand that probably the predicament and the potential contradictory nature of a motion like this, especially given the next steps in this process. But I do think getting an understanding of this and then sort of informing ourselves and representing the body of the community that has clearly got some concerns in something that may be of value as well. So I can make a motion.
All right, thank you, Councillor Chita. So you're looking for a seconder. Is somebody willing to second? We don't have a seconder, it will lapse. All right, I'll declare the motion without notice lapsed. So we will then, I will then close that motion down at that point.
Could I just ask a question?
Who's the question of? We've actually closed, there's no debate now.
The issue raised about changing, stop this proliferation of childcare centres, a code amendment, how can that be picked up on the administration to have a look at that?
I think this is something that you will have noticed, that the ACCO will have noted, and we can look for a route for that. So what I want to explain to the gallery is what has happened. This motion without notice has been forward, that has been put forward has lapsed. That means it won't be debated and it won't be voted upon. I just wanted to explain that to you so you understand the technicality of it. But of course, CAT will in due course meet on this issue. And one of the points that was made by Ms. Shoup was very much that it is more representation that will actually help shape what's in the assessor's mind when they're looking at this, specifically in things like the terms and conditions and the scale, and they will look at those. So it's really critical that you do get those in if you want to be able to influence any of those conditions that might be put on it. Is there anything, Victoria, that you'd like me to add to that?
I think just to note, the very relevant decisions that were made by our deputations today. I know you're running for a very long time, and he's been a very excellent expert witness in many battles in the ERG court. But I think this is a question of the role of the CAP versus the role of the council. For the council to enter the fray with the representation, it needs to pick a side. It did so for OTR at Heathfield, but I think the point that I made is that was a very different proposal. For the council to pick a side, it needs to pick a side in every application that comes on public notification to be fair and equitable to the community. The very details deputations made tonight, these are all matters that are very relevant to the council assessment panel and for your representations in due course. So I think I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, the role of the council of making your representation is to enter the fray with its own panel that it appoints, and that the council has appointed a very good panel, a very trustworthy panel, and they will consider all of those points in due course. So I'd encourage you to put your representation in and have it considered by the relevant authority in due course.
All right, and thank you. That's a bit unusual. I don't normally ask for any additional info, but I think that is helpful. And I think one of the things we didn't mention before is that a council, even if they had made a submission, it only counts as one submission. So it's kind of no more important than less than any one of you who put forward your view as well. So I truly encourage you to put those forward to help shape, to make this, if it goes ahead, make it the best that it can be under these conditions. So I thank you all very much for that. And we have no other confidential items, so I'm going to close this meeting at 7:39. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, councillors. So thank you, everyone. Tom, could I ask you just to bring back the other two councillors? Because my governance advice is they actually need to come in order for me to close the meeting. So we'll just wait for the others to come back in, then I'll be able to close it and I'll give it a different time. Thank you, Councillor Daniels. Councillor Munch coming or who's going? But we actually can't officially close the meeting without you. All right, so both our councillors have now returned to the chamber, so I'll go back. We have no confidential items, and I will close the meeting now at 7:40 p.m. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.